Well, where is your hope? That is, what do you really long for in life? What do you spend your midnight hours when you can't sleep thinking about, hoping for? Well, for Israel, it was the temple. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And wonderful they were. It was described as a mountain of marble covered with gold. It covered about 7 footy ovals. It was enormous. It was unparalleled in the ancient world. Some of the stones were 13 metres long. That's the length of this church. Massive structures. And yet that was nothing compared to what this building meant for the Jews, because their hope was focused on this place. It was nothing less than the house of God. It was unique. Such a great work, a work blessed by God. Surely this temple would stand forever. And so Jesus' words must have struck them like a thunderbolt. "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Well, today we look at how the glory of God left the temple and rested instead on the Son of Man. Two themes in this passage: the temple and the Son. And it's broken down into four parts: the destruction of the temple, the coming of the Son, and then two parables returning to the temple and to the Son. But first, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word, your eternal word, your word that gives us life. Help us to hear your word today, to understand it, to trust in it, and to obey it. In your name we ask. Amen. So the destruction of the temple. As they sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and the other disciples asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? What will be the sign of the temple's destruction?" Now, in the Old Testament, signs typically pointed to God's salvation. So the plagues of Egypt are signs that pointed to God's rescue in the Exodus. So would the temple's destruction point to some other great act of salvation? Well, the sign, said Jesus, it was the abomination of desolation. Great, what's that mean? When you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to be, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Well, this is actually a prophecy with a dual meaning, because 200 years earlier, Daniel had predicted the abomination that makes desolate, Daniel 9, 11 and 12 it's referred to. Daniel prophesied that the temple would be polluted, be profaned. And Daniel's prophecy was very soon fulfilled when Antiochus IV took control of Jerusalem. He installed an altar to the god Zeus and sacrificed a pig to the horror of the Jews. Now Jesus took Daniel's prophecy and he gave it a new lease of life. He said that this prophecy would be fulfilled yet again and very soon. And very soon it was, because in AD 67, Jewish zealots took control of the capital. They occupied the temple, they murdered fellow Jews and piled their bodies in the Holy of Holies. 2 years later, the Romans regained control. They raised their Roman standards, their pagan standards, in that same holy place, again desecrating it, and they quashed the revolt and then set about destroying the temple. Now, parts of the temple still remain today, the foundation, those massive stones. But we don't know where the temple itself was situated. So total was the destruction. Not one stone was left upon another. So Jesus answered the disciples' question. The sign was the pollution of the temple. The sign that would lead to the temple's destruction, which happened in AD 70. But Jesus then went further. He spoke both of the end and also of birth pains before the end, including the temple's destruction. So he alternates between these two events, the end and the destruction of the temple. He alternates between these two throughout this chapter. And it's important to know that because you can easily get lost as you read through it. Now, many look at this chapter and they simply read it as a blueprint for the end times. But you've got to ask, why did Jesus give this teaching? Was it just to tickle our fancies, to stir up some sort of apocalyptic, prophetic fervour, obsessing about the end? Well, no, Jesus was calling his disciples and us to trust and obey him in the hard times ahead. Times of suffering and distress. He was calling them to take up their crosses, to witness to the nations, and to hope in his coming kingdom. This is not the first time that Jesus picked up these themes, themes of suffering and of glory. So in Mark 8, Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And a couple of verses later, "For whoever is ashamed of me in this sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So Jesus' concern throughout this passage was to warn and prepare his followers. We see this repeatedly. So four times he urged them, "Watch out. Watch out that no one deceives you. Watch out for yourselves. And you must watch. Watch. Keep awake." Each time the warning comes from a different angle. So verse 5, "Watch out that no one deceives you." When suffering and calamities come, there is no shortage of doomsday prophets and false teachers. The JW's turned up yesterday. They're doing a roaring trade with their false prophecies at present. Verse 9, "Watch out for yourselves when persecution comes. For like Jesus, you will be flogged, brought to trial and betrayed." He said, "For they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and stand before kings for my sake, and brother will deliver brother over to death." Jesus warns us of this persecution, not so that we can retreat. No, persecution is the time for proclamation, bold proclamation. "You will stand before kings for my sake," to bear witness before them. We know that the church grows on the blood of martyrs. Through suffering, the gospel goes out to every nation. And Jesus said the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. So suffering is the means that propels this gospel proclamation. And when testifying, we're not to give in to fear, for Jesus has given us his spirit. When they bring you to trial, don't be anxious beforehand what to say, but say whatever is given in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Well, back to Jesus' warnings, verse 23. Jesus urged his listeners to watch for the coming destruction of the temple. And finally, verse 33, "Watch, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come." That is, be ready for the coming of the Son. And that's the topic that Jesus next turns to. In this, Jesus changes tack. He's just talked of false messiahs, the temple's destruction, attacks on believers. And we find all this in the history books. But now he turns to cosmic events. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. We also see this change of tack in those who see these events. So about the temple, he told his hearers, when you see the abomination. But now, he says, and when they will see the Son of Man coming. So you see, he's shifted. He's speaking of another time, another audience. Jesus has shifted his focus from the temple to the sun, for that is where God has shifted his focus, his glory. Ezekiel prophesied that the glory of God would leave the temple. Then the glory of the Lord moved out from the entrance of the temple. The glory of God no longer rests on the temple. The glory of God now rests on the Son of Man. In today's passage, then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. The coming of the Son of Man, you see, is the flip side to the temple's destruction. That destruction was an act of judgment on God's people. But the Son's coming heralds God's salvation of his people. The temple authorities crucified the Son, but the Son will gather his elect, those who are the new temple of God. In this passage, we again see Jesus' divinity coming out. There are many Old Testament passages that are picked up. For instance, the one we've just read, then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And this reminds us of Daniel's vision of one like a Son of Man. Daniel wrote, behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. This Son of Man would have the very authority of God. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. Israel had been scattered, but the Son was coming to gather his people. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. God scattered Israel because of their idolatry. It was his judgment on them. They were scattered to the four winds. And yet God promised to gather his people again, even from the ends of the earth. This is prophesied many times in the Old Testament. Now Jesus now takes this role, God's role, on himself. And in Revelation we see where this is heading, as people from every tribe, tongue, nation are gathered around the throne of the Lamb. So the temple had been the centre for the gathering of God's scattered people. This role has now been taken by the Son of Man. And in the next part, Jesus returns again to the temple's destruction with a parable. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that it is near at the very gates. What's Jesus speaking of here? The destruction of the temple or his second coming? Well, one clue, an important clue, is in this phrase, these things. So at the beginning, Jesus predicted the temple's destruction. One stone would not be left on another. And so his disciples asked, when would these things be? Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished? So Jesus went on to explain the temple's destruction and concluded, and you must watch. I have told you all things beforehand. And coming to the fig tree parable, It says, see also, when you see these things taking place, you know that it is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. So this parable, the fig tree parable, is about these things, the temple's destruction. And we know this is right because of verse 30. Some of his hearers, the current generation, would survive to see the temple's destruction. And so it happened 37 years later. But then Jesus backed up this prediction with an astonishing claim. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The words of Jesus will outlast even heaven and earth. God's word stands forever. We're told that in Isaiah in many places. Jesus said his words stand forever. The Son is God, just as the Father is God. And this gives us great hope. We can have no confidence in the promises of politicians or the predictions of experts, can we? But we know what Jesus said is true. As soon as the fig tree puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that it is near, at the very gates. We know when summer is coming, when leaves sprout. Just so, his first hearers would know when the temple was about to be destroyed. But in the next parable, the whole point is that they do not know. The parable of the coming sun. So as I said, with the fig tree parable, Jesus' hearers would know, they would know for certain when the temple was about to be destroyed. But with the coming of the sun, no one would know. Not even the Son himself. And three times Jesus repeated this. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And again, watch, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. And finally, therefore stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. The disciples had asked what would be the sign of the temple's imminent destruction. But for Jesus' coming, there will be no sign. Jesus will return suddenly with no warning. He could come at any moment. It is impossible to know. The question is, the only question we need to ask is, will you be ready? Jesus' final call was, stay awake. Four times he repeats this. Watch, keep awake. The master commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. Stay awake. Our task, friends, is vigilance, not calculation. That is, we are not told to calculate when he will return. A popular preacher has written many books, many sermons on the rapture, on the end times, and says quite confidently that Jesus will return in our generation. What utter bosh! You do not know when the master of the house will come. Are we going to believe the word of Jesus or the word of an internet preacher? Jesus may come tonight. He may come in 1,000 years. But our task is vigilance, not calculation. stay awake. But hang on. Jesus said these words a long, long, long time ago. And some have given up hope. He won't return. But Jesus did not lie, nor was he misled. The destruction of the temple took place just as he said it would. All his other prophecies, his death and resurrection, the coming of the Spirit, the persecution of his followers, and so on, these have all been fulfilled. His only prophecy yet to be fulfilled is his second coming. Now the fool says, I'll repent on my deathbed. I'll leave it till then. I'll repent when I see him in the clouds, if it happens. But we will have no warning. As it was when the Romans conquered Jerusalem, there'll be no time to go and fetch your coat. No time to go home and make amends. Friends, now is the time to make your peace with God. Only a fool would put off this most important decision. In Ukraine, many long for the return of husbands and children. They never stop thinking of them. Do you have the same longing for Jesus' return? Sadly for the Ukrainians, such returns may never take place. But Jesus' return is certain, for he promised it. Do you long for his return? Or do you dread it? Or just ignore it? The temple is gone. Those warnings about the temple were for Jesus' first hearers. But the coming of the Son is still yet to happen. We need to heed the warnings of his coming. Watch, stay awake, for false teachers will lead many astray and alarm them. Persecution and the delay in the Lord's return will discourage many. Yet we know for a certainty that he will return in glory and gather his elect. So watch, stay awake. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can know with certainty that you are coming back. And when you come, you will gather your elect to be with you forever. We know, Lord, that there are difficult times ahead. You promise that your people will suffer. And especially when suffering comes, Lord, help us to trust in you, to speak boldly the words of hope that you have given us, so that others too may find hope in you. Amen.